Now, Matthew has this intention of presenting Jesus, especially to the Jews here. Now, they would be examining so closely the background of anybody who claimed to be the Messiah. And they would want to be sure that this person fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy that Messiah would come from the line of David. And this is why it is important just to present the genealogical lineage. And so what do we find here? Well, it's important to point out that Jesus is son of David, son of Abraham. In other words, he's directly related to the patriarchs, to the fathers of the past. So we're talking about his lineage to King David. He's an heir of the promises established by the old covenant. So you find this list, Esther, of 42 generations, and it's divided into three groups of 14. And if you have a look, you see Abraham is there, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs. And the impressive thing here is not even that Jesus is a descendant of Abraham, but more importantly, that he's a descendant of David. He is officially in the genealogical lineage of David and could very well be considered an heir to the throne. So he is the messianic king. Do you know, there are many people listed here that we could say were unworthy people, considered, if you like, to have no merits at all whatsoever. Even the patriarchs, let's not forget Abraham, let's think about him. He was an idolater from Mesopotamia. Jacob was this guy who had loads of family issues. And out of all of Jacob's sons, who shows up in this genealogy? Judah. Now, Judah is the same Judah who had this sordid account in Genesis chapter 38 of him, where he wound up having illicit relations with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. As a result of that, Tamar bore Perez, who's listed in this genealogy. So imperfect Tamar is also showing up in this genealogy. And you know, the amazing and encouraging thing here is that God includes imperfect people in the line of the Messiah, Jesus. Instead of listing the names of honorable women of the past, the names listed here are perhaps surprising. Because after this, who else shows up? Well, it's Rahab, the ex-prostitute from Jericho. Then we see there's Ruth, the Moabite. She's also here. You remember Ruth was the one who went back to Jerusalem with her widowed mother-in-law Naomi to live with her. And in doing that, Ruth embraced Israel's God. But she started out as a Baal worshipper in Moab. Ruth, though, later marries Boaz, and all of this can be observed back in the Old Testament. Later, we see a reference to Solomon, and the phrase here is very clear, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. This none other than Bathsheba, as in David and Bathsheba. So the genealogy leading right up to the birth of Christ might seem strange. I think it's encouraging, though. It seems like he's not a legitimate child, because is Joseph the father or not? Well, out of all the women of the past listed here and the children that they had, many of those births didn't seem legitimate either. But Matthew establishes the connection and reveals that the grace of God, thank him so much for this, has worked and continues to work right through human history, right through the DNA of human history, even in the lives of these men and women who were men and women who struggled with serious issues. Some of them were foreigners and pagans, victims of horrible situations and relationships. This genealogical lineage is going to continue to bring up other names of less than perfect men, such as Manasseh, such as Amon. And there's also a reference here to the Babylonian exile. And finally, we come to Joseph, Mary's husband, mother of Jesus the Christ.